Grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. I was at an ecumenical gathering, a gathering of a bunch of different types of Christians. One time I was with people of many different denominations, and as I was talking with one of the people who were there, an African-American pastor, he asked me, "So, Pastor, when were you saved?" And I said, "April 4th, 1971. And he looked at me. He said, "You know, you look awfully young to have been saved 30 years ago. How old are you?" And I said, "I'm 30 years old." And he looked at me quizzically, and then he goes, "Oh, you must be one of those infant baptism Christians." And I said, "Indeed, I am. I was baptized when I was a tad over four months old. I was baptized in the same church where my father had been baptized, and I was baptized in the same church in which I would eventually be ordained." I then went on to say that when I was 14, I was confirmed in the faith, claiming the baptismal promises that my parents made for me, when in reality I was just doing what my parents told me to do. I didn't want to bring embarrassment to the family. I think I've told you before, my dad said I was the worst confirmation student he ever had. And the only reason he passed me was because it would have given a heart attack to my grandparents. He did force me into a religious boot camp on the Saturday before I was to be confirmed, however, asking me everything, making sure I knew something before I was confirmed. Not like the stellar students that we have now in confirmation at Bethel, nor like my children will be, right? I told him that I had made my I'd confirmed my faith at the age of 14. Now, when he started talking to me, he goes, "Well, you know, when I was a baby, I was dedicated in the church. And then about 14, I was baptized." And it was at this point that we both kind of realized that we had a very similar story to tell, although we used different language to tell it. You see, I was baptized as an infant and confirmed at 14. He was dedicated as an infant and baptized at 14. He gave me a big old slap on the back. He said, "You know, us Baptists and you Lutherans aren't so different. At least not as different as we like to think we are." And to be sure, us Lutherans and those Baptists really aren't so different. Certainly not when it comes to how central baptism is to our life of faith. See, baptism is for all disciples of Jesus a shared identity. It is in baptism where God names you and claims you as God's own child. It is in baptism where you and I are renamed brothers and sisters with one another. It's in baptism where you begin your journey of faith as disciples of Jesus, whether you remember that day or not. It does not matter if you were baptized as an infant, a young child, or an adult. You see, for the meaning and the power of baptism is centered primarily not in our age or how we got to the font or to the river. It is centered primarily in what God is doing. In that water, in the promise associated with it, God is promising relationship with you, given freely and generously to all of us who are washed in the abundant waters of baptism. And make no mistake, friends, they are abundant. Whether you were lowered into a river or a creek or a lake, or whether you had water sprinkled on your head as you were a crying child, the amount of water doesn't matter as the promise associated with it. And in that promise, baptism becomes, for all of us, an ongoing, never-ending reality of God's favor and blessing. Martin Luther famously said this. He said that when you wake up each morning, wash your face so that you can remember your baptism. Because as you do, Luther understood, you enter again into the new identity that God has given you, that you come to see each new day, indeed, each new moment in your own life as an opportunity to respond to the ever-present promise and reality of God's gift of grace to you and to this world. The words today from Isaiah that were addressed to the Hebrew people speaks, I believe, to you and I in our baptismal identity. These words, "But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, He who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." You see, God knows you. God has claimed you. And God promises never to forsake this relationship with you. This is God's assurance. God's assurance spoken to you. He then goes on to say, Isaiah does, words that I believe really speak to us in our baptismal identity. Isaiah writes, "When you pass through waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. Do not fear, for I am with you." The journey of life that you walk can often be fraught with turbulent waters, marked by rushing waters of doubt, fear, and shame, narrowed by fires of self-doubt, loss, and suffering. Still, the baptismal promises that shape your new identity come, graciously come, in fact, with the life-giving and powerful assurance of God's hope-filled presence and strength. You see, healing will come from brokenness. Our baptismal identity promises. You see it and hear of it every day, I know. Hope exists. Hope exists beyond struggle and pain. I know that you've witnessed it in both your life and the lives of those who are sitting around you this day, that good grows from bad all the time. I mean, think about it. We focus so much on the negative in our world, yet there is so much good that happens. So much good that comes out of difficulty. For that is what God is always at work doing. That is God's kingdom come near. That is the ministry of Jesus being enacted through you and me and through the work of the Holy Spirit in our world. Whenever and wherever this happens, where healing is experienced amidst brokenness, hope amidst struggle and pain, good coming from bad, then this is when the kingdom has come near. All the baptized, you and me, whether it was when we were as an infant or later on in life, all of us have a purpose, a God-given, God-blessed purpose in our living. It is a purpose that witnesses to the glory of God. You need only look to Jesus' own baptism as a model for living out your own. Luke tells us that when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved." At his baptism, like you, Jesus received a new identity. God says to Jesus, "You are my son." At baptism, like you, Jesus received the promise of assurance. "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." At his baptism, like you, Jesus received the purpose For it was after baptism that Jesus began his ministry. Your baptism offers you the same. An identity is God's child, an assurance of God's presence and grace in your life, and a purpose for living out God's mission of healing and reconciling the world. Your baptism gives you a daily, indeed a moment-by-moment new beginning, cemented by God's gracious love. God's love for you in a relationship that will never end. A relationship in which you may not even be aware, but will seek you out. One of the first adult baptisms I ever did was by a dear friend named Laura Kennedy. And after her baptism, she wrote me these words. I've been thinking about my baptism a great deal since two Sundays ago. And I finally found an analogy to describe what seems to have occurred to me after my baptism. It feels as though I have finally accepted the hand of a very loving and kind guide. One who has the most gentle and strong clasp. The one who will not force me to hold hands if I do not wish it. However, it is a hand that I ask to hold every day now. I look to this being for guidance and comfort and feel as though it is so incredible and wise that I have nothing to fear now. In the truest sense, it is God, but in the living reality, it is also you and Sabrina and everyone in church and the words of the service and the songs that we sing. I feel in my core, Laura writes, that God is so much more with me now. I know it has always been so, but I have stubbornly refused to hold hands. And so I am grateful to have received baptism because I feel as though a bridge to God was established on that day. And I am no longer walking alone. You will never walk alone. For God has come near and claimed you as his own. In Jesus' name, amen.